I've got good news for you today. I'm so excited about the word today, and I just, I feel so often, and I didn't make this phrase up, but a preacher is just a hungry beggar showing another hungry beggar where to find food. And I feel just so blessed because before I get to come and share something from the Word of God with you, I get to just feast on it all week and think about it. And for the last several months, there's been a word it keeps coming up. Have you ever noticed, like, when you're looking for a new car and you finally decided what kind of car it is, now all of a sudden you see it on every street corner? You just notice it. Well, there's a phrase, a concept that just kept coming up over and over and over in my studies, and it centered on this one simple concept of the Lord's rest. And so Psalm 95 is where I got the phrase, enter into my rest, but it is even one of the very most basic stories or concepts in the Bible. So at the Bible in the beginning, you remember what it starts with, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's even though it's very early in the story, that section of scripture, we call it the priestly section because it was actually added at the last part. It's kind of an introduction to the rest of the story. So here's this story of God creating, and it's not just that he created the world. This is very important, that he did it in 7 days. Now, I don't even want to start a debate because I know there's some of you out there that say that means 7 literal days, and others that say that means 7 long days. To me, that's not the point of the argument. The point is 7. That's the most important part, and it's the reason the story is told this way, because it gets to the point of establishing a pattern in the Bible that's called the Sabbath. Today, I want to talk about, in this series, entering into the rest of the Lord. I want to talk about the pattern of the Sabbath. And so if you've got a Bible, turn in it to the book of Genesis chapter 2. And this has to be on my control for me to work it. So Genesis chapter 2, it is the beginning of Genesis 2, but it's actually the end of chapter 1. And in its conclusion, it gives us this scripture. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. The batteries are dead. What a great way to start off the year, isn't it? With dead batteries in your remote control. Heavens to Betsy. What's that? Yeah, I get brand new batteries to start off the year, and maybe they'll last me for the whole entire year. What do you think? Pastor Tim, I took out the other one, so now you're going to have to think hard to be able to know which way. I really wish we could edit this stuff out on the live stream. Yes, it is. His good deed for the day is to start off and make sure that the clicker works. Isn't that awesome? Man, I love it when things get fixed in the new year. So, let me get back. Where was I? I want to talk about the 7th day. And I want to share with you something. If you know, part of what I do in my own devotions is I really study deep in the words. I've noticed, especially in Hebrew scripture, in fact, I don't know if it's one guy or a school of the prophets, but there are certain psalms that I began to notice there was a pattern but couldn't figure it out. And I had to, like one of those 3D puzzles, how you kind of have to unfocus your eyes. And I realized that the pattern was way more complex than I thought it was. And I've been for the last couple of weeks like one of those crazy people that think that there's secret Russian messages in the newspaper, you know, circling certain letters. Only I'm convinced I'm not crazy, because I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. In Genesis chapter 2, when I begin to notice it is when, you ever notice sections in the scripture, it's telling a story, and all of a sudden it just starts telling a little mini poem? And you can tell because it's repeating words over and over, and it seems like there's a pattern. Well, there's a pattern. You can even see it in English. And it says this, and God ended on the 7th day from all his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all his work which God created to make. That's actually what it says. Now, you kind of notice a little crisscross pattern and some repetition and some rhythm, how it says God three times, and then there's three important words that God ceased and then he rested and then he blessed. And it's, you're not crazy to see that, because that's written in there. And I'm going to do this because some of you almost want to leave the building when I show you Hebrew letters. But I have to show this to you. Who could you just, if I do it really quickly, like ripping off a Band-Aid, can I show you something really cool? Because you can't see it in English. You can kind of see it. But this is Hebrew. How you read it, it starts here. You read it from right to left, top to bottom. And so that's Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And I began to notice a couple of patterns. Well, several. One is that there's three verbs that starts with, that's vayakol, which means and he ceased. That's vayishabbat, which means and he rested. And that's vayabarak, which means and he blessed. So I already know what my three points are today, because he just highlighted it with those two letters in Hebrew, right? And I begin to notice something else. Three times the word Elohim is used. That's the name of God. And so now you have God, and then he did something, and then God, and then he did something, and then God again. And there's a pattern to it. I begin to notice that then the words around Elohim were kind of like anagrams, you know, where you steal some of the letters from the word Elohim to make other words. Like the word for day is yom, which is also two of the last letters in the word Elohim. And then I begin to look, because I know this is all about the Sabbath, and there I found it, right there in the blue letters. And if you're colorblind, I am sorry, because you probably can't see this. But you see these two words? So this vayishabbat, that's Shabbat. I'm going to talk about that word in a minute. That's how you say it, by the way. In Hebrew, it's an SH sound and a hard T. And then over here, it says for in it, Shabbat, because in it he rested. So that's the key part of this verse, and it's right there in the middle between, here are these two, between the three names. So it's God, Shabbat, God, Shabbat, God. You see the pattern? It gets even better. You want me to keep going? Then I begin to notice, I said, but it just seems like out of order. So in Hebrew, these three letters are Shin, Beit, Tav. You see the letters? That's like a S-B-T. It's just three letters. Shabbat. And then I begin to notice there's a whole bunch of S-B's, and there's a T at the end of this. And I noticed that there wasn't just one or two places, but look at all those places now. In this sentence, it's Shin, Beit, Tav. In this sentence, it's Shin, Beit, Tav. And I just found this one this morning. Shin, Beit, Tav. Shin, Beit, Tav. Shin, Beit, Tav. Do you think that's an accident? That the word Shabbat is spelled out in this whole passage, not just twice, but seven times? Now, that's not an accident. You see something like that, because the word, this word, Hashibi, it even starts with the first two letters. So seven, it comes into our word seven. Seven and Shabbat are related in the original language. And then, just when I thought I had found them all, I squinted my eyes and turned my head sideways, and I said, I wonder if they got even more creative with their acrostics. And I found that in one last place, going vertical, that in the letters that he hadn't used, there it is again, Shabbat, Shabbat, and it's kind of surrounding the two names Shabbat, kind of like a parenthesis or an exclamation point. Now I'm done. Did you handle it? How many think I'm crazy? Or is that too much of a coincidence to be on accident? That writing it in there, the prophet was saying that this is one of the most important principles in life so much, I'm going to wrap it with a bow. I'm going to turn it into this huge word puzzle, because I don't want you to forget this principle. Now, why don't we know this? Well, because years, about 400 years later, the church fathers stopped reading Hebrew and only read the Greek. And so none of that translated in there. I just wanted to show you a picture. Isn't it beautiful? I got to tell you, by the way, the entire Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, the entire thing is like this. But anyway, I'm through with that. Today, I just want to talk about how important it is to do what? Shabbat. Did you know, by the way, that that is not just a noun? That is an imperative verb. So to cease, that's what it means. It says in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath. That's a noun. He goes, because on the seventh day, you're to work 6 days. So he doesn't say don't work. You're to work 6 days. But on the seventh, do what? Shabbat. camera guys, I'm sorry, I forgot. You kind of, are you okay? I'll go back to where I'm supposed to be. Man, I just messed them up. I thought it was second service for a second where I can get down there. Plus, I'm too old to see that without my glasses. So when I was in Israel the first time in 1997, and I've told this story before, but you stick around long enough, you'll hear all of my stories get recycled eventually. And what I love about that with my wife, I can tell her the same joke once a year because she doesn't remember my jokes. Wonderful gift to me. But there I was in 97 with my little Pentax film camera. And I was taking a picture of the sunset as the shadow went up the Western Wall, which is the closest place to the Temple Mount. And it was beautiful. It was bright orange above it, and the shadow was going up like this. You could actually see it as it was going up. And I was taking a picture, and as soon as it got to the top of the wall, I was about ready to take a picture, and this young man wearing fatigues and holding an M16, which means he's the boss of me, came running up to me, and he said, "Shabbat!" I had never heard that word before. I looked at my Jewish guide, and I said, "What did he just say?" He says, "Don't take that picture." And I would suggest that you heed his instructions, right? And I said, wait a second, is he saying Sabbath? Because I always thought of Sabbath as this wonderful thing at the end of the week. You know, if you're Jewish, you celebrate Sabbath on Saturday. Sometime in the early church, the Sabbath became in the Christian church Sunday when we get together. And I had never heard it before in my life as a command that you can shout at somebody. But Shabbat is not a suggestion. Shabbat is a command, and it means stop it. It means cease. It means to rest. But God put it in one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth one. It's this finger right here, so it's hard. You had to put a string around it so that you remember it. But it says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, because on the seventh day, God rested. I never forgot that. It's become a principle in our lives for Molly and I. If ever she or I ever violating our day off by starting to work or talk about work or whatever, Molly even said, "You want me to run up there and put my hand in your face and do it?" And I said, "No, you don't have to do that. But you can picture it." We just look at each other with love and we say, "Shabbat." Thank you, Molly. We say Shabbat because now we know that that is a command. I want to talk about this principle. And by the way, for me, it's always about principles, never about legalism. It's not about trying to resurrect the Old Testament law. It's just about embracing one of the oldest principles that God was speaking through his prophets to give to his people so that we would have a cycle that could last for a long time. And the first part of it is that it is a day for ceasing. Now, I'm not going to show you the rest of this Hebrew, but I noticed on our Wednesday nights as we were walking through not only the story of creation, but what follows right behind the story of creation is the story of Noah, which is all one big story arc. And so it begins with Adam in the garden, and Adam and Eve sin. And because of that, God curses the ground, which is very prophetic because the name Adam is Adam, and the word for ground is Adama. So he says, cursed is the ground because you. And he didn't say, from now on, you're going to have to work. He said, from now on, you're going to have to work with the sweat of your brow. And the ground is going to be cursed and it's going to produce thorns and thistles. How many know that hard work is not a part of the curse that God put in our life? God meant us to be productive. But how many know that there's a difference between working hard and getting something done and working hard and wasting a whole day? He says, that's the part of the curse. And he said that it cursed us the ground. And so then when Noah comes along in Genesis 5, his father Lamech gives him the name Noah. He said, he named him Noah, and he said, because he will comfort us. And so the word comfort is Nahum, like the prophet Nahum. He will comfort us from the labor and the painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. What is that? That's a reverse of what Adam did. In the curse is Noah's story is going to be about washing the land clean. By the way, that's part of, in that earliest version of the story, is what the flood was for. It was cleansing the land so that they could start over and remove that curse on the land. In Genesis 8:4, in the middle of the story, it uses this really interesting phrase. And then the ark rested. This is when it was done. It rested on the seventh month upon the mountains of Ararat. And you cannot not see that. Why did it rest on the seventh month? And the word rest is also a play on words with Noah's name, because rest is Nuach. It's the word Noah again. And so it's wanting us to look at that. And then I couldn't believe it. I about fell off my chair when the whole story ends. You remember Noah gets out of the ark and he builds an altar and he makes sacrifices there. And the Lord shows him the rainbow and promises his covenant, and then breaks into another one of those poems. And no, I'm not going to show you in Hebrew. I'll just show you this version. He says, "And as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." That's the last word in Genesis chapter 8, which is the end of that story arc. And guess what the word cease is? Shabbat. Shabbat. The whole point of that story is God was going to reverse the curse on the land. He was going to reverse the curse, the useless work in our lives, the fruitlessness, the lack of any production, the lack of any feeling of accomplishment. He was going to reverse it by what? By establishing for us a pattern of Shabbat so that we could be restored, so that we could work hard on 6 days and then on the seventh, God could recreate us. He could do something new in us. How many are with me so far? And so when the children of Israel went into Babylon, it was like Noah's flood and the land got purged. And when they came back, one of the prophets in 2 Chronicles, which was written after the exile, he reminded them that they used to be slaves. First they were slaves in Egypt, and then they were slaves in Babylon. And the difference between a slave and an employee, because friends, I don't know, some of you are retired, so you've forgotten what it's like to be employed, right? But some of us are still employees. There's nothing wrong with being an employee or working hard. But you know the difference between an employee and a slave is? Slaves don't get days off. And so let me ask you this. Are you working like an employee or are you working like a slave? How many are with me so far? You know what? Can I tell you? Some of you this morning don't need this word at all. I have seen your life. Some of you are retired now and I'm so jealous. You are experts. You could get up here and preach on how to have a day off. It's wonderful. Some of you tell me things like this, and I get crazy. Pastor Mike, you'll never believe it, but since I've retired, I work even harder than when I was working. I say, what? I say, you're not doing it right. I'm sorry. I said, don't tell the Lord that. But always remember, God had a plan and a purpose for us. And so he even said, because they were supposed to give the land a break every 7 years and let it replenish itself. And so then this prophecy says, and those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became slaves, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath. Oh, man. That's almost right at the end of 2 Chronicles, which is kind of the end of the Old Testament stories. And what it says is all of those years that they were in Babylon and the land was desolate, finally it caught up on all of its Sabbaths. Finally it caught up. I always read that and I just said, Lord, I do not want my life to be like that. I don't want my life to be shortened. I don't want my assignment to be shortened because I didn't take seriously your pattern of how to live. I don't want my body to be worn out before its time because I didn't listen to the pattern of your word. And so he says, listen, you can either take my word for it or I can just collect it on the back end. Which one would you rather have? And so when Molly and I started off ministry, my first boss was Pastor Fred, and he was really good. He took his Sabbath on Friday, so I took mine on Monday, and I've been doing that for the rest of my life. And so I don't know if this shocks or surprises you, but sometimes this evening I'm going to resign. I'm stepping down from my pastorate here, and Tuesday morning I sign back up for the job. But when the sun goes down tonight, whenever my work is over here, I'm done. I don't work. I don't think about working. Now, Jesus had an exception. He told his disciples, you know, because he would break the law for something really important, like healing somebody, like ministering. He says, if one of your sheep is in a ditch, you would get him out on the Sabbath. So how much more important? So listen, if you have a tragedy or somebody dies or something happens and stuff, then I'll be there. I'll break Sabbath for very important reasons, but I'll break Sabbath for almost nothing else. I don't break Sabbath just to go and take care of something that I forgot to take care of last week. I work everything else around to prioritize it. And I have had pastor friends and couples. We'll be at a pastor's retreat, and all of the wives will complain in their circle, man, I just can't get my husband to take a day off. He just works all 7 days, and on his seventh day, he's on his phone, and he's answering emails, or he's studying, or whatever, and then they get around to Molly, she goes, my husband doesn't have that problem. He takes faithfully every week. We take our Shabbat, because we don't see it as a suggestion. And all I can tell you is this, you can judge against that, but many of those people are not in ministry anymore. They fried out at some point. And I wonder if they had had that pattern in their life, if they might still be going. How many are with me so far? I am so convinced that God has a plan and a purpose for it. And if we just take it seriously, there is an importance to that pattern and that rhythm. And when you think about it, we take that seventh day because God took that seventh day. And God is omnipotent. Does he get tired? And yet the Bible says that he rested on the seventh day. And so the second thing that it is, it's to be a day of rest. Rest. So God gave us a pattern so that we could rest without guilt. You don't have to raise your hands, but I know that there's some of you out there, maybe a small minority, that feel really guilty ever taking a day off. I knew Molly grew up on a dairy farm. Guess what? Dairy cows don't take a day off. It's really hard. You might have a job where you work on the day that you would like to take Sabbath. So I'm not about legalism. I think it's every one of us have to figure out our own pattern of making it happen. But I think it's such an important principle. And so in Exodus chapter 31, God said to the Israelites, he said, it will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Refreshed. That he re-enlivened his soul on the seventh day. Why seven? You know, people have noticed for years that seven is a really big number in the Bible. You ever noticed it a lot? Especially in the Old Testament. Whenever you see the number seven, it's never on accident. It's always on purpose. And every time you see it, say, what the writer is trying to prophesy to me is Shabbat. Every time, that 777 is a reminder. It didn't originate with the Hebrew Bible. It's clear back even in Babylonian texts. And there's a reason. You know why seven is an important number? At least on our planet. Maybe on a different planet it would be a different number. Why seven? Because of the moon phases. And it's, even before people could write, they noticed that it takes about a month for the moon to change, and in those quarters where it goes full moon to quarter moon to waning moon and then back again is about 7.38 days. And so you round it off in every culture at every moment in time. Every about 7 days, there's another moon quarter. And so seven's just baked into the cake. It's woven into the very fabric of creation. You can't change it to be something else. There's seven. And God said, I created it like that so that you would have a pattern. And I want you to follow after this pattern because that's how I created you. Everybody say amen? And so when Jesus came along, every once in a while he would break Sabbath to heal somebody. One day he was walking along and his disciples picked some grain and ate it. They had a little snack, and the Pharisees, who were the legal authorities, they said, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath because you're not supposed to pick the grain. And Jesus said back to them, wait a second. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's the Lord over all of those things. It's not about legalism. It's not about just judging one another or making up more rules. One of the problems of the Pharisees is they started with the Bible, and then they had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of rules stacked on top of those, so much that you could never be faithful to all of the commands of the Bible and of the Pharisees. And Jesus was going back and said, just keep it simple. And I tell you how kind of, I don't want to say ridiculous because it's just someone else's faith and tradition, but when I was in Israel, when you go to the hotel, when it's the Sabbath, when it's Shabbat, they have Shabbat elevators in Israel. What is a Shabbat elevator? Well, a Shabbat elevator does not require you to push a button because pushing a button is doing work. Don't roll your eyes. It's true. In Israel, on Saturday, the elevators move all by themselves and stop at every floor and open the door. So all you do is just step on. Now, the pain of it is you've got to stop on every floor. but at least you won't be guilty of breaking Shabbat. Is that going too far, anybody think? Go a little too far? Well, if it is, maybe we don't go far enough, because there is a logic to it. I heard somebody on a podcast a while back, and they were bashing the Bible and saying that it's ridiculous, and say who would ever follow a book that says something, and this is Old Testament speak, by the way, where it says if anybody in Israel is found to break the Sabbath, he says, take them outside the camp and stone them to death. Well, I'm not even so sure in history they actually followed through on the stoning part, but is that a little too extreme? Yeah, I don't think you should be stoned to death because you break the Sabbath. And at the same time, I wanted to get on the podcast, but I couldn't. I wanted to get on that podcast, and he says, but don't you realize that the Old Testament law, the Hebrew Bible, is the foundation for our culture? Wrapped up in that principle of Sabbath is the idea behind days off, is the idea behind giving workers paid leave, or giving them sick leave, or even workers' rights. All of those things are tied up into the idea of the Sabbath, one of the earliest law codes known to man, and wrapped up even in the Ten Commandments was this thing, because not only were they to take a rest, but they were to give their servants a rest. And it's one of the first times in any human code where God told his people, keep an eye out for the servants. Keep an eye out for the employees. Keep an eye out for the people that are working for you. And I think it's beautiful that he built it into the very fabric of creation that we ought to be looking after one another. Anybody say amen? Say amen. The last thing is this, is that Sabbath rest is a day of blessing. And I'm so convinced that if we would just give God one day to restore us, that he would bring about an extra blessing in our life. And we would never miss that one day that we didn't work. You say, well, I got to put food on the table. I'm telling you, God promised it clear back when he gave the law to the children of Israel. It was during the time when they were getting the manna. You remember the manna? Manna was this weird bread-like substance that formed on the desert floor. And they went and they would pick it up in the morning. You could make cakes out of it. Nobody really knows what it is. In fact, that's what the word manna means. It's what is it? So they went out and they said, manna. And it's, yeah, I guess that's what we'll call it. It's whatchamacallit. And so they could bake it. But then he says, but on the seventh day, I don't want you to go and collect it. And on the seventh day, they went out and there wasn't any on the ground. And they said, well, how are we going to eat on the seventh day? He goes, because on the sixth day, I'm going to give you enough. Here's this principle, by the way. I love these Old Testament stories because I think they're in it. They are really life lessons that we're supposed to take to heart. And what is it? He says, bear in mind that the Lord gave you the Sabbath. That this is why on the sixth day he gives you bread.
Old Beckham has advised.
Hey, don't hit that button twice, Mike. That's why on the sixth day, he says, that's why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Say bread for 2 days. Say, but Pastor Mike, I gotta get out there and I gotta make that bread. But he's gonna give you enough bread for 2 days. And I'm so convinced of this, and maybe I do get a little bit legalistic, but I've just seen the fruit of it in my life. I am so convinced now that if I hadn't taken the Lord serious when I started off ministry in this principle, I wouldn't still be here today. I'm still convinced the reason that I've survived so many different things is because of the Lord restoring me on the seventh day. It's a miracle. I am a walking miracle today. If it wasn't for the Lord in my life, I would not still be here. And he always gives us enough. And I got to say, on the other side too, if you want, you can work all 7 days, but God's only going to bless 6 of them. That seventh one, thorns and thistles. That seventh one is going to be the day where nothing works and all your machines break down and you got to redo everything. On the eighth day, you got to redo it all over again because it all fell apart. 6 days he'll bless. The seventh day we give to him. Anybody say amen? I love, and I've shown this clip before, but it's from a movie called Chariots of Fire. Do you remember Chariots of Fire? Won 4 Academy Awards in 1981, and one of the main characters is Eric Little. It's based on a true story, amazing Scottish runner, and he was really good at the 100 meter. The only problem is when it came down to the Olympics, and this is back in the 20s, when it came down to the Olympics, they scheduled the 100 meter on Sunday. and he wouldn't run. Could you imagine that? I couldn't even imagine somebody doing that today. But this guy was old school, and it was a true story. He got in, and they called him in and tried to rebuke him, and he just said, nope, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to run on the Lord's day. And so I love this story of all of the government officials trying to talk him out of standing to his guns. Watch this for a minute.
Lord Birkenhead has advised us as to your attitude towards your participation in the 100 meters heats. Or would your non-participation be more accurate?
It would, sir, yes.
We were also consulted as to the correct manner in which to approach the French.
Something we just can't allow to happen. Going cap in hand to the frogs of all people? Simply out of the question.
Simple matter of national dignity, Little. Being a patriot, I'm sure you understand.
Well, I must say, sir, I felt it was an impractical suggestion from the start.
Why did you say so, man? As an athlete, you value economy of effort.
I wanted to run. I was desperate enough to try anything.
Well, all that being understood, we decided to invite you in for a little chat to see if there's any way that we can help resolve the situation.
There's only one way to resolve the situation. That's for this man to change his mind and run.
Don't state the obvious, Cadogan. We have to explore ways in which we can help this young man to reach that decision.
I'm afraid there are no ways, sir. I won't run on the Sabbath, and that's final. I intended to confirm this with Lord Birkenhead tonight, even before you called me up in front of this inquisition of yours.
Don't be impertinent, Little.
The impertinence lies, sir, with those who seek to influence a man to deny his beliefs.
On the contrary, Little, we're appealing to your beliefs in your country and your king. Your loyalty to them.
Hear, hear. In my day, it was king first, God after.
Yes, and the war to end wars bitterly proved your point.
God made countries. God makes kings and the rules by which they govern. And those rules say that the Sabbath is his. And I, for one, intend to keep it that way.
Wow. Yeah, could you imagine somebody doing that day? Man, it's not very often you see somebody that's just willing to stand on integrity and say, listen, there's just certain things that I do. I got to tell you, everybody has to work out for themselves. At first he was going to run, then he decided not to. You know how he compromised? He ran the 400 meter instead. I don't know how much you know about track and field, but those are not the same race. You don't train for them the same, but at the end of the day, he broke the world record at the 400 meter. 47.6, he ran it. Broke the record running a race he didn't train for. He honored the Lord in his life, and the Lord made it up to him. Isn't that a cool story? He also went on to be a missionary in China and eventually ended up dying in a Japanese internment camp. He gave his life for the ministry. I just, whenever I read stories about people like that, especially those old timers, you know, those old school people, I said, Lord, you know, I want to stay up with the times. I want to be modern. I want to, I don't want to be stuck in the past. But Lord, teach me the difference between things that need to be updated and principles that never go out of style. You know, styles are many. Principles are few. Styles always change, but principles never do. There's so much of a difference when the Lord tells us about this. And I believe he has a blessing for all of us. And life is too short to pass up on God's blessings. Anybody say amen to that? So why am I talking about this? Because it's the first day of a brand new year. If you want an extra blessing in your life, why not test the Lord in this? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, there remains then. This is Hebrews, New Testament, just in case you thought I was stuck in the old. Hebrews, I said last week, Hebrews 3 and 4 are a whole sermon on that passage from Psalm 95 about the rest of the Lord. And he said, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Amen. What a blessing it is to follow after the Lord. What a blessing it is to have a life that's full of opportunities to produce, to add something to the world. And what a blessing it is that the Lord said, I created you to work hard and then to take a rest. Young man went to an old farmer and he was 90 years old. And he says, what's it like to be 90 years old? I can't imagine living that long. And he says, well, thought for the farmer. He said, it's kind of like Saturday night on the farm. He said, all the work's done and Sunday's coming. I said, Lord, I not only am looking forward to my day off, but I'm looking forward to the day when I just get to be with you for all of eternity. There's a Sabbath rest coming for all of us. Amen? He's got a lot of stuff for us to do in between time. And it's an investment in all the things we do when we take the Lord seriously. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of life that you give us, that you refresh our souls. And we just want to come before you today and dedicate to you, Lord, our work. Whether we are employed or whether we work in the home or whether we are retired and have still have important things to do, or whether we're young and in school, because that's hard work as well. Lord, today we dedicate you to you our work this year. We lay it at your feet. We tithe upon it by dedicating ourselves to the Sabbath, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be people of restoration and refreshment. You've called us to be people that aren't going to burn out because we follow after you. And Fred, well, nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy today. If you're here in this place and you would love to just dedicate your year, dedicate your life to the Lord. But what a great time to just say, Lord, I want to follow you this year. I want to give you every day of it. If you're here today and you just want to dedicate it to him, would you just look up at me for a moment? Amen, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, would you, if you're able to, would you stand to your feet with me today? Grab somebody's hand next to you and let's just pray together, can we? And I'll pray this with you. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Wash me clean and forgive me of all my sins. I dedicate to you, Lord, this year and the work of my hands. I ask that you'd bless it and prosper it, and I will give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Would you just praise him? I love all of you so much. Go in the grace of the Lord. Have a great day.